Are you kidding?
Hey guys.
Hey, we're keeping this. Hey guys.
Is that one film podcast?
It's Zoe Soare.
Jack Bailey.
Emmanuel Dawit.
We're loopy today. Okay. Today we're going to be going over the film Sorry to Bother You, directed by Boots Riley.
I mean, what can I say about this film? I mean, it's pretty... If you just want to get a good laugh, watch it. I really...
Or if you want to be scared.
Okay.
We'll talk about that later. Okay. I'll give you the general summary. In an alternate reality of present-day Oakland, Calif, telemarketer Cassius Green finds himself in a macabre universe after he discovers a magical key that leads to material glory. As Green's career begins to take off, his friends and co-workers organize a protest against corporate oppression. Cassius soon falls under the spell of Steve Lift, a cocaine-snorting CEO who offers him a salary beyond his wildest dreams.
So, one thing to know about this movie is that it is satire. It makes fun of everything.
Literally.
True. I mean, just the subtlety in things, I think I loved about it. But if I had to give an initial thoughts on it, I saw the trailer for Sorry to Bother You, or I saw like the general ad for Sorry to Bother You on TV, and you know, I loved Lakeith Stanfield in Atlanta. It's one of my favorite shows. So when I saw that he was in a movie by himself, I was pretty excited because Darius is one of my favorite characters from Atlanta.
And
I just like the idea of the movie because it was something I hadn't seen before.
It's so unique.
Yeah.
There's this review by Common Sense Media. And like literally it makes so much sense. It says this impossible to categorize movie starts off as a hilarious satire and then veers into territories so unexpected and queasy that it may alienate many. Yeah. And like that's like queasy is a word that I would use. It like makes me feel so uncomfortable, but that's what it's supposed to do.
That's definitely how I felt when I first watched the movie.
Mm-hmm.
When it first came out. But then the second time I watched it, I was like, this movie is amazing.
I mean, it like literally gave me chills.
No, for me, it just made me laugh. It didn't give me chills. I wasn't really like creeped out about it. I think it was like really interesting. Interesting perspective of comedy, and I think that like a lot of the audience in general will be able to like respond to this movie well, like we did when we watched it. And I think it was, I mean, I don't know what else to say about it really. There were some interesting parts. I mean, I guess there were some creepy parts, there were some cringy parts. I mean, as a whole, I mean, it was a pretty interesting movie in general.
Before we continue on with this review, just to remind you guys that some of the movies review are like over a certain age limit. This movie is over that limit. So if you want to watch this movie and you're maybe young, I would not, or get Perry's permission.
For an unexpected reason that you will find out later. We won't give you any spoilers, really.
We'll try not to,
but also like we probably will a little bit. Just worry, this is a film review podcast. There's gonna be some spoilers.
So what'd you guys like about it?
I just loved the concept. Like, it's so weird. Like, how does anyone just think of that? They're like, yo, I have this movie idea. Like, how did people I'm just imagining the, like, Riley just, like, pitching this movie and being like, yo, hear me out.
You don't know, Riley's one of our friends.
Yeah, this movie's gonna slap.
Y'all. Everyone's gonna turn to horses. It's gonna slap. And everyone's like, what?
And then Boots Riley was like, you know what? It's pretty good.
I'm dead. Yeah, it's really insane.
What else can you say about it? I think it was different. Like, in comedy in general, I feel like kind of they have repetitive plots, repetitive jokes, repetitive, like, scenes. I mean, just, like, concepts that you can find in different comedy movies. Like, I see this in, like, the Kevin Hart movies sometimes. I'm kind of like, it's kind of like, Kevin Hart, don't get me wrong, is really funny, and he's a great actor. In my opinion, I think
I don't know about that.
The thing is, what's really good is that an argument makes for a great conversation.
Sure.
If you do want to argue about the great comedians out there, I think that Kevin Hart is a good one in terms of like the more modernized.
Yes,
comedians. I don't know.
We could get into comedians, but you know that isn't really
Wait, what's the problem with Kevin Hart though?
Okay, but literally, he's, like, not... He's overrated. You gotta admit it.
Okay.
Also, his movies are just, like slap comedy.
I enjoy his stand-up, but I enjoy all stand-up, really.
I don't really enjoy stand-up.
I mean, that... Yeah, I feel like I enjoy it for different reasons than other people. Yeah. Not completely. But some of it, like, I've listened to pretty much everything stand-up. And Kevin Hart is definitely pretty funny, but his movies...
are not good.
I could have.
Well, have you watched the one with The Rock? Have you watched the one with The Rock Johnson? Where he literally is like a spy now or something, and then he like glows up. It's such a weird movie. I have no idea what.
Oh yeah,
where
he's like
so
fat.
This one, like,
he's like he looks like a baby.
But so is this one. I think all comedy movies in general, like if it's away from the general concept. It's going to be a very weird movie because weirdness is, like, it's just, it makes for great humor.
For sure.
For sure. That's right. In my opinion, I feel like that's...
And yeah, this movie, if you had to describe it with one word, it'd be weird.
Weird. Like, I wish there was a...
It makes you uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfy.
It mentions everything from, like, it pokes fun at everything from, mm-hmm. like, yeah. relationships to, like, TV and... Just like living when you're broke and stuff. It pokes fun at everything.
True, mm-hmm. true.
And it's gonna make you uncomfortable because it kind of turns it up to 9,000.
It's so uncomfy. Like it's yeah. I think you said it earlier. It's like it's life on 10,000.
Yeah.
Like, that is so uncomfy.
Like just the little things. The TV has the TV channel in this. Weird universe has three channels, only three, and one of them is like a super violent channel where people just like get beat up, and it's like the most popular TV show on the planet.
I mean, out of three,
out of three, the other one is like the news, and then like almost a cooking show or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or like the Coca-Cola slap like a... What is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's something that... It's really weird.
Just like an ad channel. Yeah. Something like that.
Oh, man.
Just like violence. It's because like... In this like world, we love violence so much.
And like, we're like desensitized to it
we
now.
We really are
because
desensitized to it.
We have like the internet now and it's like... It's so open to... Everything.
Yeah, agreed.
You watch Game of Thrones? Like, people love
I've
that.
I've never watched
people
that.
Love
like,
violence.
People love
and
violence.
And the news, too. Like, every day you'll turn on the channel, it'll be like, millions have...
Attacked.
Yeah.
And then it's like, it shows, like, clips of people beating each other up, and it's like, wow, I'm really interested in this. That's what I think about, like, action movies.
And you're
like,
just like, oh, well, because it's just,
people
like,
love like, putting other things into infamy.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Like, people like watching evil things happen.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I would never do that. I can't believe somebody would do this.
But it's, like, interesting.
But deep in their mind, they're like, it's kind of like it.
It's kind of good. It's kind of good. Yeah.
And I liked the idea of the telemarketing, because that's just that's a job that nobody respects.
Literally.
Agreed.
And I feel bad for this. And this shows kind of like, those people are not
I regular
people.
I hate telemarketers.
True.
I literally hate them. Whenever they like come up on my phone, I'm just like, are you dumb? Like, I'm
yeah.
not
buying
this.
Yeah. I think my favorite scene was like when he was getting interviewed for the job. Because he was kind of like, at first I was like, wow, he's got some stuff under his belt, you know what I mean? But then I just, like, after that I realized, okay, this is some type of, you know, this is someone poor who really needs a job and is in a financial bind.
Well, if he didn't spend all his money on a trophy and a plaque, he might have...
he might have been better off. Yeah, I feel like the scenes where he's, like, jumping in, when he's, like, caught, he's using his white voice.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny. Yeah, it's so funny.
Voice. It's so...
It's creepy, though, at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, creepy. Eerie, and I feel like... so good. It's like super eerie.
Yeah.
Well, like this is like eerie. So
I think it's a
weird
voice.
It's weird.
Isn't it a voiceover though?
Yeah. Okay. It makes it's sense. Dubbed okay. For it's, all of them.
It's yeah. So weird.
Because no, imagine a person having the skill to be able to do that. Like, hey guys, I can't even do it.
Hey guys.
I can't do it. Imagine.
And what a fabulous day it is.
Yo, Chad.
I mean, you had the benefit because you're white. Me and Zoe, oh no.
What a fabulous day it is.
What a fabulous day, indeed.
Welcome to our show, What That One Film Podcast.
I'm dead.
But, in general, I don't... I mean, there were some
it's
parts...
It's such a weird movie.
Yeah, I mean, agreed. There were some... There were some parts where I was a bit unsure. I think they were put there for a reason, like in terms of comedy, making fun of art, like when that scene where...
where they were like throwing...
Yeah,
they're like,
throwing
the,
like
yeah.
Sheep blood. Gold
kind of making fun of modern art there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like that's...
Gross.
Gross. It's weird. Like, like unnecessary. It's so deep. Like it's... when he was like saying... he was singing the, like, rap song.
Yeah.
And he was, like, saying, like, the N-word. And, like, all the white people in the crowd were, like, saying it back. Oh, that was, like, so funny. Because, like, when you look at it, you're like, oh, that's so hilarious, blah, 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 blah. But then you look deeper and you're like, whoa, yo, what is this?
That's kind of how it is.
That's kind of how it be, though. Because, like...
Rap is the most popular... music form now.
It really is. And I feel like a lot of like black people in this generation who aren't like exposed to like who don't have a lot of like white friends or something, they're like, oh yeah, white people don't say the N-word. Yeah. Like they would never, they don't do that. Like the majority of them don't do that. But like also there's a lot that do. Like rap being like the most popular genre of music and like a bunch of like people are consuming it, then yeah. Like of course they do.
I mean, like, using
so
the N-word
weird.
In rap is, like, a whole different thing than using the N-word to, like, insult someone, right?
Well, yeah.
So, like, someone using the... Like, a white person using the N-word in rap doesn't really bother me. Like, even though...
I feel like it's different for a lot of people. Because I know a lot of people are like, what? No, you shouldn't be using it at all. Like white people in general, like, just don't say it. Like, it ain't that hard. But, like... Because, like, you know, like, an argument that, like... someone Kyla made when we were here is that like you censor yourself around your parents, why can't you just censor yourself like in general? Those horses were creepy, sorry.
At first I was really confused because, well, I'm not gonna spoil anything, but I think everyone is gonna be confused when they see a horse talking English and then it's like then they find out like the deeper meaning behind it and it's like
so creepy.
Oh, it is weird.
I feel like we can't do the rest of this episode without spoiling stuff.
That's true. We probably should get into it a little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, if you want to stop listening, just pause it right now. Because from now on, we're going to spoil this movie. We're going to spoil it so good.
That was so ugly.
Okay, so what else should we talk about?
We're talking about... spoilers now. So basically, everyone's a horse. The entire world's a horse. I'm joking.
That's
but,
a bit intense.
We should talk about the plot in general and then like kind of like lead up to the horse because that'll make more sense, I think, to the listeners instead of like, oh, everyone just turns into a horse and, you know, they absorb some interesting qualities. So, first off, worry free. Like, that was a big deal in the world, in this, I guess, not other universe, but this different type of setting, I guess, in Oakland, California, right? And so, Worry Free was basically
Oakland, California.
Wasn't it set?
Yeah, it's in Oakland,
California. Anyways, Worry Free was Worry Free was a child labor company. I mean, not child labor. Sorry.
It was like a labor.
Like a labor company, right? But yeah. It was kind of like
sketch.
Yeah, like sketchy. Super exactly. Sketch. And so a lot of people like protested against this in the movie, and then I guess the CEO of Worry Free was like Cassius. I think he was really special, and so he invites him to his little office, right?
It's and he's like, special because of he utilizes his white voice.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And he gets kind of power drunk, or like money hungry, kind
mm-hmm.
of.
Yeah, that's
and he,
true.
And he gets blinded by it.
That's true. Agreed. Anyways, so he tells Cassius, man, you're pretty special. I need to make you a proposal, right? And then Cassius snorts up some powder. What was it exactly that he snorted up?
Well, it was supposed to be coke.
Yeah. But it was actually like some agent, right? And this agent turns people into horses, right? But the CEO lied to Cassius and was like, no, why would I turn you into a horse? And Cassius kind of encountered a couple of horses on his way to the bathroom because he really needed to pee. And these horses were screaming out in pain. They're like, help.
We're hurting. Help.
We're hurting. Exactly. We're hurting. And,
we're hurting.
It pretty much scared everyone.
It scared. It was scary. Okay, literally, the horses are so creepy.
The faces, the nostrils, the...
Not even the nostrils, just, like, their bodies.
Yeah.
They're creepy.
And they have to be nude.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Which I feel like they could have put on some clothes. I guess they just broke out,
though. They're too broke. They're too buff for that. Yeah. Sorry to bother you, but... Like,
I know. When you said that, I got the name of the movie. I was like, that's it. And I think it was also really funny when... He was on the phone with people, and so as soon as you would join the call, he would be right.
Oh, you drop were, into it.
Yeah, drop
that
into it.
That was really cool.
Sorry to bother you, Bob.
Sorry to bother you, but and then hang up immediately. And then as soon as he used his wife voice, I'm sorry to bother you, but we have a new thing.
Oh, sorry to bother you, but I thought this would interest you.
What I thought was so weird is like, he would go into the white voice, and then he would just like have this whole new vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. When he at the end when he got turned to a horse and then he went to the CEO's house to just mess him up he's like sorry to bother you
yeah sorry to bother you but knocks it and then it was I mean that part was
I was so angry. I hate those horses. I was like, Cassius, why are you don't turn him into a horse.
And
it's so creepy.
Okay.
I also hate like transformations. You know how like transformations in movies, like when the human like turns into a werewolf or whatever, yeah. Like you just hear them go like I hate that.
Like
so
in the originals
much.
I think that happens a lot, and then also like in Wizards of Waverly Place there's also some wolf.
I literally just hate it so much. It makes me so uncomfortable.
I you know what's so weird about it for me is, you know, I'm a big character guy. When characters are written good, these characters are written good, and I think the acting is good. I really liked that Steven Yeun is in this movie, because I love
Steven. Yeah, he's moving on it.
But I don't like him in this movie. I don't like
really?
Him. Even at for me, he's just so annoying. Like, he's just like, we raised a... Sign Flippers Union, and we're like, it's so corny. He's so corny. He's like, yeah, we just raise protests for people who don't get paid good. Some part of me kind of agrees with Cash, or when he went, like, even when he got power hungry, it was like, he, and capitalism in general, I'm not completely defending capitalism, but he was like, he was working what he paid, like, what he was doing his good job, and he was getting paid a lot for it.
That's true.
And then these people, like, they couldn't get calls and stuff, so they decided to raise a protest when they knew that they were working on commission.
I think it's Cash, like, he had a true talent for turning his voice into white people. Obviously, in the movie, not in real life.
True talent for having a white voice.
And I think that, like, to be honest, some of them were, like, salty that he was kind of good at it. And, I mean, like...
Yeah. You can see it in his face.
I agree with you. I really do.
And that sucks. And the reason I didn't like Squeeze is that, other than the union thing, where he just goes around doing that, he also, like, knew... that Cassius, like, all he's just a yes man, really. Like, he was just like, oh, I'll say whatever to get my union struck or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he did that with Cassius' girlfriend. What was her name? Do you remember?
I don't remember. Oh, I can't believe I forgot this. I don't
remember. Yeah, I don't remember it either. Tessa Thompson is the person who does it. I didn't like her either. I feel like she was like...
She was really representing like an archetypal like female in a relationship.
True. And she was kind of cool though. I liked her dress sense. And I feel like the people who made her like outfits probably really enjoyed doing that.
Yeah.
And
her earrings were dope.
And also how, like, she would just magically change her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of weird. You know, the thing about this movie, though, that was super weird to me... everything's super weird in this movie, but... Just the cinematography. Because sometimes it's really good, and then other times it's, like, questionable.
Yeah.
And I think... I want to feel like that's intentional, to just give off that weird, off-putting vibe.
Yeah, because, like, some of it, like, really... It's, like... There's good film and there's bad film, like cinematography. Like, you're like in classes, like you're learning, like, oh, this scene, like this would be considered like a bad shot,
right?
Or like a good shot. Like but sometimes like bad shots work.
Yeah.
Which is also, I think, should be taught more. But like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, there was a lot of times where it would, like, fade out, or it would, like, fade from one scene to another.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not always the worst thing, and it'd be better than just directly, like, cutting it. But it was always so slow that it felt off, in a way, when I watched it.
Well, actually, now we're speaking about cinematography. I think that in terms of... There was one scene where they followed the rule of thirds, I believe, where it was during the party, after the party, like, he was really slowed down, and then it kind of zoomed out, and then the doors him, like, that was just very visually appealing. And as you're saying, Jack, that's, like, one of your favorite, I think you're saying that was one of your favorite parts of the movie, kind of, like, that, like, if we had taken a picture of that right then and there and hung it up on a wall... I don't know, for me, like, I feel like that'd be kind of, like, motivating. Like, I don't want to be like that. I think on the topic of cinematography, I agree with you guys. Really, like, there was some parts where, even though, like, I'm giving a fresh audience perspective, I did really feel uncomfortable and kind of, I had a weird vibe, basically, throughout.
The colors were cool.
The colors were sometimes super oversaturated,
mm-hmm.
and then other times, like, when they were in the telemarketing thing, they were really dull.
Yeah, just showing, like,
the
different environments.
And I thought that was really cool, because even though it was, like, really bright in some ways, there's little things in this movie that I really enjoyed. Like, the background when he's actually doing the talking for the first time, and the guys are, like, all the papers are flying in the background, and it gets more intense. That's a little thing that's kind of, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I think if you put the comparison between the basement, like, of the telemarketing, and then the power collar type of thing out there, I really think that the colors are much different, because it's kind of like, on the power collar, it was kind of more vibrant, it was kind of more modern, and then the telemarketing from the basement was just kind of, it felt real in that type of sense, you know what I mean?
And the thing where the guy, I don't think he even really had a name, but it was the guy that was like telling them about the power callers. He was so creepy.
So weird. Like, they were like not friends, yeah. But like he was like, yes. It was like weird.
Like, and
so
they would, they like, there was a one point where he got a call and they like started humping each other.
Yeah, it was so weird. Oh my goodness. It's so funny. That was hilarious.
We'll get to the top. And then Mr. Beep, that's what you refer to him as because his name's blurred out.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of cool. I mean, I really like his style completely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about how I feel about the beard.
It would definitely look really weird. It was like cut off at his lips.
Yeah, that's true. We use white boys in here at all times. I like that scene too. The elevator.
It also like really speaking about how this is like completely satire. It really like touches on like code switching. Mm-hmm. And all of that like is so common to people in America.
Especially America in particular.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how actual critics felt about this movie.
It got really good ratings. The Rotten Tomato rating is like 92%. That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if you look at this, like, every movie is, I guess, a film, but if you look at this, like, as, like, a true film, like, remember Roma and Children, well, not Children, but Roma in general was an example of, like, I don't know. I define it as a true film, right? And so if you look at this as a true film, it's not really, like, that would be a little bit generous, but as a movie in general, like a comedy movie,
yeah.
I mean, I think it'd definitely be up there.
I feel like this is really good. I feel like it exceeds what a comedy movie is, yes, or what it's, like,
sure.
supposed to be.
It's true.
It's definitely one of those movies where it takes everything you think and it kind of flips it around.
Yeah.
And
it's super funny. I enjoyed it the whole time.
Yeah. I enjoyed it the whole time. I laughed, but also when I was laughing, I was like really uncomfortable. Like I was like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness, I'm so terrified.
A lot of the comedy in it is like, it's like uncomfortable, kind of awkward comedy.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Definitely.
And there's like those silent pauses. Mm-hmm. Right before.
I mean, what would you guys like? Basically, like, you would want to suggest this to our listeners, like, bro, you gotta go see this movie because it'll be entertaining. It's an entertaining movie.
Only if you're of age, or if you have parents' permission.
It is rated R.
I'm sorry, teachers. If you're listening to this, you're gonna think about us differently, aren't you?
Not even. It's a good movie. Good film is good film. I don't care what anybody says.
I'll watch any film, even if I'm technically not supposed to.
And you can with a parent's permission. So.
Yeah, I asked my dad, and he said, yeah, sure, I don't know what it's such a big deal. But, you know.
My mom this morning, when I was watching it, she was like, what movie you're watching? I was like, it's for podcasting. It's called Sorry to Bother You. She was like, let me look at this real quick. Okay, yeah, here you go. Seems pretty funny. And I was like, I know, right? So I would give it. I mean, how should we rate this?
How many
sorries out of that many bothers? I don't know.
I feel like
it has to do with like
how many colas to Cash's head.
Okay, how many colas out of
heads?
10
heads.
Wigs.
How many colas out of 10 smile cola or smile?
Smile and have a cola. Yeah, exactly.
Smile and have a cola. Okay, I'd give it an
8.5.
An 8.5.
I'm surprised. I would give it like. Or like a little more. Maybe a 9.
Maybe. I would give this probably like an 8.5 or an 8.7.
Ooh, yeah, I was thinking somewhere around there.
Yeah.
An 8.7 is pretty good.
Yeah.
Because it's like not the most phenomenal movie you'll ever see.
Yeah, but it's a good
movie. But it's definitely a good movie and definitely one I will probably keep going back to just because of how much I enjoyed watching it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Even though I'll have nightmares.
Yeah, I truly suggest that if you are at age, please go watch this movie. Or really beg for your parents' permission. I'll watch it with them.
And if not, just wait a few years.
Yeah. It'll be worth it.
It's available on Hulu, by the way, if you have a Hulu subscription. But
yeah.
Just find it on some sketchy website, too.
Are you suggesting pirating?
I mean, it's wrong for me to do that because I am in a film podcast, so...
Don't you ever pirate a movie upon you. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time. Peace.